Good morning, and again, thank you for this opportunity to allow me to come and share with you guys about our children's ministry. And before we begin, let me open us up in a word of prayer. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the children and what a blessing they are to us. And to have the opportunity to worship together with them this morning was such a joy. And it was a moment filled of excitement. And it's just, I'm sure, a glimpse of what heaven will be like in worship, where there's not the structure that matters, but it's the heart of worship. And we see that joy radiating from our children. And so we thank you, and as we come to your word to see what you have to say about children, Lord, that we would come away blessed and come away changed by it. So I thank you, and I pray in your son's most precious name, amen. Again, good morning, everyone. My name is Justin, and I have the joy and privilege of serving in the children ministry as the children's ministry intern. For me, this experience is very unique because most of the time I share with the children and the youth of our church, and so I'm really excited to be able to share with you guys from God's Word. And it has been a pleasure to serve not just your children, but to serve alongside many of you here in the congregation. And as you guys will see in your bulletin, we have a list of all the volunteers that we have here at the church, and it is grateful to serve with you guys. And for you parents, I admire you greatly because I get the opportunity to see how you've raised your children to truly love and honor the Lord. So I thank you guys for putting your trust, and not just me, but in us, the children ministry, every week on every Sunday, because you drop off your children and trust that we will bring them God's word. And it's been so encouraging to me not only have your trust, but the trust of our church's leadership, to consider the children's ministry as one of the top priorities here at the church, not just through Ministry Sunday, but even as we see in this building project, that the goal is to help really grow our children's ministry. And so on the behalf of the children's ministry, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your support, thank you for your encouragement, and thank you for your prayers for all of us. Now, before we dive into God's word, I want to share with you guys very briefly, what is the children's ministry? Because I know for a lot of you guys, if maybe you're not a volunteer or you're not a parent, you don't come to the children's ministry very often. In fact, for a lot of us, it's probably just that education building at main campus. And we don't understand what the children's ministry is. And so for right now, I want to share what is the mission, the vision, and goal of our children's ministry. And so I'm going to read for us our mission and vision. And so the children's ministry of MBCLA exists to accomplish the task of glorifying God through worship, equipping, fellowship, evangelism, and serving with your children. Now, this mission and vision may sound very familiar to a lot of you because, well, this is the mission and vision of our church. And what I want to get at is that the children's ministry is not just some other group meeting at some other time. It's not just another children's church, but that the children's ministry is an extension of us as a church whole. That it is part of the body of Christ, and that it has its place, and that every one of us needs to be a part of it. That the mission of the church and the vision of the church is the same mission and vision that we as a children's ministry hold to as well. Now, how do we accomplish this mission and vision? Well, first, how we worship the Lord is that if you come on a children's Sunday and come to the children's worship, we sing songs, we divide up the classes age appropriate, and we worship in a very similar manner to how it is here. And they receive Bible lessons, and they have a sermon preached many a times. Secondly, children are equipped through biblical teaching in Sunday morning worship and through Sunday school in order to live faithful lives. And so we have very faithful Sunday school teachers who invest in your children and equip them to prepare how to live as Christians. Thirdly, we have some really great fellowship groups that meet on Friday night, such as Missions Friends, KFC, and Basic. And the goal of these fellowships is to really develop deep friendships for your children here at the church. Next, we have the opportunity to share the gospel with your children. And when we talk about evangelism in the children's ministry, well, first, it's to your children who need the gospel. And secondly, for that matter, is that we want them to share it with their friends and have the opportunity to invite their friends to come and join us on a Sunday morning. And finally, we have the great opportunity to see our children serve in the church through the various choirs that come. And I'm sure that you guys have been blessed. I believe on Mother's Day, the children came and they sang for you guys. And what a joy it is to see that our children aren't just receiving and receiving, but they're able to give. And so this is how we as a children ministry really want to accomplish the mission and vision of our church. And our goal, to be honest, is very simple. Our goal is for your children to glorify God through developing a relationship with our Lord. It is to share the gospel with them and bring them to salvation. It is to show them the kindness and goodness of the Lord, that the children's ministry exists so that the children may glorify God with their lives. Now, I would like to turn your attention to our passage today. So if you could open up your Bibles to Mark 10, verses 13 to 16, specifically Mark 10, 14, which is the key passage, which, as you guys have seen, have represented our children's ministry. And if you have an opportunity to go to the back and look at one of our pamphlets, it's the verse that we use to really encourage people to come and check out our ministry and to really embody what we want to do. And so let me read for us today's passage. Mark writes, "And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, 'Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all.' And he took them in his arms and began blessing them and laying his hands on them." Now, my sermon is titled, very simply, "The Church's Place in Raising Children." And what we're going to see in today's passage is, well, what does God's Word have to say about children? And what does God's Word have to say about the church's place in raising children? Now, I believe very strongly that the children's ministry is not there to replace you as the parents, but it's there to come alongside and assist you as parents in growing the faith of your children. And the first way we do that is our very first point today. And our first point today is that the church needs to show Jesus to the children. Or another way to put it, the church needs to bring children to Jesus. And we see this verse, or this point, come out in verses 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, "And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them." Now, what's going on here is that Jesus has been teaching in a region of Judea. And as he's teaching, these group of people are bringing in children, and we can only guess and probably assume correctly that these are the parents of these children, and they're bringing them to Jesus. And why are they bringing them to Jesus? Well, it says here in the text that they wanted Jesus to touch their children. Now, it sounds kind of weird, and for many of us, the question we should ask is, well, why would they want Jesus to touch their children? Now, the reason why is that if you've looked throughout the Gospels and seen the miracles of Jesus, and especially his healings, you'll notice that there's always a tangible laying of hands on the people that Jesus is healing. For these people, when they think of Jesus, they know that the power when Jesus touches them could heal any ailment. We see that in Matthew 8 with the healing of a leper, the centurion servant, Peter's mother-in-law, and two men with demons. We also see in Mark 1, 40 to 45, where people are coming to Jesus looking to be healed, and Jesus lays his hand on them and touches them. And so we see in this passage that very clearly the act of Jesus touching carries power. And this is what the parents knew. And this is what the parents wanted. Now, we don't know if maybe the parents had children affected by disabilities or ailments, but what we do know is that the parents knew that Jesus had power, that coming to Jesus was of the utmost importance, and that their children needed to meet this Jesus. But unfortunately, the end of verse 13 shows us, well, that the disciples prevented the children from coming. In fact, it wasn't just that they didn't want the children to come. They openly rebuked the people for bringing their children. The idea here of their rebuke wasn't just that they said, "Hey, don't do this," but that there was the idea that they were about to do something wrong, something heinous, something that wasn't right to do. But Jesus, in verse 14, responds to the disciples. He responds to them that he is greatly displeased and that he is indignant. He even rebukes his disciples and saying that permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them from, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Now, as we see here, Jesus is greatly displeased in what the disciples are doing. And before we really get on our high horse and go, yeah, Jesus, you need to rebuke them, we got to really remember that these disciples, they weren't doing it to be mean. They weren't doing it to just be jerks. They were doing it because they thought that they were doing what was best. They were probably in their minds going, well, Jesus is teaching. We need to hear Jesus teaching. And if these children come, they're just going to cause trouble. It's going to be very disorganized. We don't want them to disrupt Jesus. And yet Jesus reverses that on them and rebukes them and tells them that these children are very important to the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God belongs to them. In fact, the children were not an interruption of his teaching, but they became an illustration for his teaching. And well, what does that mean for us, that they became an illustration? Well, in verse 15, we see that Jesus tells them that these children, you need to be like these children in coming to the kingdom. That these children are a great example of what faith is to look like for us. But these children are a great example of dependence and trust in the Lord. You see, children, they, no matter how cute they are, can do nothing really for themselves to provide for their needs. They rely solely on their parents to provide food, shelter, clothing, and everything. In the same way, believers are called to be like that, to rely on God and to fully trust in God to meet all of our needs. That these children had much to share with these adults. And so as these children needed to be dependent on Jesus, we need to all be dependent on Jesus. That we are all sinners who deserve divine punishment. And not just us, but even these children. And that's why Jesus is calling them to bring the children to them, is that children are sinners as well. No matter how cute and adorable they are, and as you guys have seen, there are very, very, very many cute and adorable children, we must keep in mind that these children, no matter how cute, are sinners and are in need of a Savior. They need Christ. And what this passage is highlighting for us is that we all, including the children, are sinners and in need of a Savior. That we fall short of the glory of God, and these children, as they fall short of the glory of God, and as they are sinners, need to have Jesus come to them. And that they need to come to Jesus. And that they can and need to have faith in him to be saved. The point is clear here, that the children need Jesus. That there is power in the name of Jesus. And the question I have was, well, how for us, how will our children come to Jesus? It's not like Jesus is going to hold a Bible study, you know, down the street, and then we'll just be like, hey guys, let's all go see Jesus. Instead, what it means for us to bring the children to Jesus, or what it means for the children to come to Jesus, is that we are going to bring them God's word. That we are going to bring the gospel to them, and that we're going to show them from God's word how they are to live. Now, whose responsibility is that? Who is the one who's supposed to be faithful in bringing the children to Jesus? Who is the one faithful to bring God's word to the children? Well, throughout the Bible, the responsibility of raising children falls on parents. We see that parents are the ones that are called to care for and to really bring up children to know the Lord. We see this in Colossians 3:21, Proverbs 22:6, Ephesians 6:4, and Deuteronomy 6:7, where there's so many passages about we are to faithfully, as parents, bring the word of God to children and teach them Lord's commandments. And so my question was, well, if that's the responsibility for parents, how then does the church fit into this responsibility? Why should we even have a children's ministry if it's the responsibility of the parents to do so? Well, the reason why I believe that the children's ministry is so important, and ultimately the church as a whole, is that the church and the children's ministry is meant to come alongside the parents in raising children. That we are to partner with parents, and that we are there to support parents in that. We're not there to replace the parents. We're not there to replace the primary teaching that the parents are supposed to do. We're not there to be just a daycare for the parents. We're not supposed to be the ones who take all the responsibility in raising the children. Instead, the church should not follow the example of the disciples, even, who hindered the children in coming to Jesus. Instead, the children's ministry exists to assist the family and to help the parents grow their children in their faith, to help bring the word faithfully to the children of our church. And so the church is meant to complement and come alongside parents to bring the word of God to their children. Now, what does that look like? How does our children ministry today accomplish that goal of coming alongside you, the parents? Well, the first thing we have is we have a really great children's ministry teaching curriculum where you know that the teachers in Sunday school, Sunday morning, are faithfully going to bring the word of God to your children. Secondly, we have great programs and fellowship groups for your children on Friday, groups such as Mission Friends, KFC, and Basic. And we also have great events throughout the year that your children will also have the opportunity to hear God's word, such as VBS. We have children's picnics once a year. We have Hallelujah Night. And you know that the volunteers, well, I have the opportunity of sitting in on many Sunday school classes and observing many of the teachers, and your children love the teachers. That the friendships that they have with the teachers is something that will carry through with them throughout the rest of their lives. And so we have great volunteers who have great relationships with your children. And children's ministry is one of the great opportunities where we can live out being a multi-congregational church and a multilingual church, where it's the only opportunity that you guys really have to serve alongside not just people of the English ministry or the English congregation, but you can serve alongside people of the Mandarin congregation and the Cantonese congregation. And so it's the only place where all three congregations really pitch in and serve together. And ultimately, the greatest way that we come alongside you as parents is that every morning that you drop off your kids, that you're able to place your trust in us to faithfully care for your children and to faithfully bring them God's word, to impart God's word to them and to build off what you have been teaching at home. That you know that we're going to bring God's word to your children every Sunday of every week of every year. Now, those are things that we do well today, but there are things that we are needing to do better. That this is just the first step in how our children's ministry is to be. You see, the first step, we need more, and we need to grow more in our children's ministry. And this building project that's coming up, it's a great first step. It's a great opportunity that our children can have a new environment to really worship safely, to be equipped, and to fellowship together. But there are so many areas that our children's ministry needs to grow in today. This is where we need the help. This is why we come in Children's Ministry Sunday and really look to you guys as the congregation to partner with us, the children's ministry, to help serve the children. Because we don't want to stay where we are, but we want to continue to grow so that we can serve your children all the better. And so some of the things that we have in mind that we would love to grow in, and we definitely need your help in, by volunteering, by helping out, by praying for us, are areas such as we want to develop better parent-to-teacher relationships. That I'm sure for many of you guys who are parents, you probably don't know who the Sunday school teacher is or who's the one leading your child on Sunday morning for worship. We want to be able to build those relationships better, to have not just a better partner, personal relationship with them or a better mentorship relationship with them, but that you can come to your child's teacher and they would openly, happily share with you guys and to develop that relationship between, again, you and the parents, or you and the teachers. Another way is that we want to create better fellowship and friendships among you, the parents, along congregational lines. That we have a great opportunity in the children's ministry for you guys to connect with the people in the Mandarin congregation and to connect to the people in the Cantonese congregation so that we can truly be the church together. That you aren't just segregated here as the English congregation and you just do the English congregation things, but that we can come together as a church and to really be a church together, to be not just a multilingual church, but to be MBCLA together. Another thing we would love to have is, you know, conferences for parents and to see what God's word has to say on parenting. We would love to have even more church events outside of Sunday so that we can gather together to fellowship and not necessarily need a structured program like KFC or, you know, a structured program like VBS, but to really come together and to just fellowship and have fun together. And another great way that we really want to grow in is to have, you know, you parents become volunteers and teachers in our children ministry. to have not just a place where you can drop off your kids, but that you have a ministry to really call your own. That when you guys serve in the children's ministry as parents, that you can have input and you can have a change in the ministry as we are the children's ministry. That it's not just a ministry that your kids go to, but it's a ministry that you yourself are involved in and buy into, so that you guys can help us grow the children's ministry. And these are just some of the ways that we would want the children's ministry to grow. And there's so many other ways and so many more ways to think through. But those are just some I wanted to share with you guys. But in order to accomplish this, we need you guys here in the English congregation, here at the church, to help us. Again, we've taken a major step in this building project. We have a modern-day gym that we want to build. We have a great new education center that we want to build. But if that's all we had, and we didn't have the support of you guys, the congregation, behind us, and if we don't have you buying into and really developing with us a better curriculum, a better relationship, if you don't buy into our mission and vision, then having this new building means very little to us. We need you, the members of MBCLA, to come and build the vision and goal with us in the children's ministry. And we need to come together and actively be involved in the lives of our children. I want to say that it takes a church to grow children who know the Lord. It takes a church to care for them. And it takes every one of us. That in order for us to truly raise children who love the Lord, it takes the whole church to come together to build up our children. And this isn't something that is solely here in the Bible. It's something that works all around, and even the secular world recognizes it. For those of you guys know who Lemony Snicket is, he's an author of a fictional children book series, and he quotes a very old and not a proverb from the Bible, but just a proverb is saying, is that it takes a village to raise a child. And for us, I just again want to highlight that it takes a church to raise children. That it takes all of us to buy in to really raise children who love the Lord. That it takes all of us here to really care and to build up children. And if you want to be a part of that, well, if you could open up your bulletins, please, and you'll see this green form in front of you. Now, this green form is not very detailed and not very informative in the sense that it has all of our different programs listed. But what it is that we want you guys to be a part of the children's ministry. That here, these are the areas of needs and at times we meet that we need help in. And so if you guys could take the time after service to really fill this out and to really take a look and really consider and pray about how you guys can help here at MBCLA in our children's ministry. And for some of you who may be worried, maybe you're a parent and you're thinking through, well, my child's always in children's ministry, and if I go, well, he's only going to ever stick to me. Well, you have a great opportunity to serve in other areas of our children's ministry. You don't need to serve in that particular class your child's in order to do that. There's some great benefits for you to actually serve in other ministries that your children are involved in, such as if you your child is young and you want to serve in an older ministry. So maybe your child is preschool, kindergarten, and you get the opportunity to serve in second grade. You have a great opportunity to prepare and to really guide the curriculum, how it goes, in order so that when your child does reach that age, that you know and can trust that the teaching is well. Another great way is that you can prepare yourself for the future. Maybe you're a first-time parent and your child is, you know, again, 5 years old or in kindergarten or a lot younger. You have opportunity to go to the fourth grade, the fifth grade class, and to see how a fourth grader acts and how a fifth grader acts, so that you yourself can prepare yourself that when you're home, how to respond and how to act with these older kids as your child grows. And another great way is that you have the opportunity to help your fellow brothers and sisters in the church, because I'm sure, without a doubt, that every one of us here sitting today knows someone who is a parent, and that when we do serve, that we have opportunity not just to bless the child, but to bless our friends here at the church. And so if you guys could, please take time to fill this out. Now, with that being said, it's hard, it's not easy to serve in the children's ministry, as Pastor Francis has mentioned. It does take sacrifice, and whether that sacrifice is time, energy, your friendships with some people, because you will be going to the education building, not coming to service. That when we view children's ministry, that a lot of us view it as just giving, 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 and sacrifice and sacrifice. And that is true, that there will be sacrifice. But the children also give back to us as well. That there is much for us to learn from the children. And so our second point today from the text is that the church will be blessed by the children. Now in verse 15, Jesus tells the disciple that whoever wishes to enter into the kingdom of God must be like these children. See, Jesus here is using the children as an illustration, as an example, that he's illustrating for the disciples that children are dependent on their parents to meet their needs, that they rely completely on them to provide for them. And in the same way, the disciples need to be dependent on the Lord. In the same way, believers need to be dependent on the Lord and to rely completely on him for all that they need. Again, believers must realize that they are dependent on the Lord. And the disciples, well, they were blessed by these children and because of these children. In the same way as the disciples were blessed by these children through the teaching of Jesus, we as a church can be blessed by the children of our church. That if you come and serve in the children's ministry and volunteer and do sacrifice your time, that there is much that the children will give back to you. That there is so much that we learn because of children. And I'm sure many of the parents here can tell you that when they raise their children, or if they're raising their children, it's not just that they keep giving to their children, but they've learned so much because of them. And some of the things that we will learn and that you will learn if you come and serve in the children's ministry are things such as patience, grace. One of the biggest ones that I've learned recently is humility. And so actually this past Sunday, last week, was my birthday. And it was also Mother's Day. And so one of the kids, they came up to me and they looked at me and they go, "It can't be your birthday." And I was like, "I think it's my birthday. I'm pretty sure. I mean, my birth certificate says so." But they continue and say, "Well, it can't be your birthday. You're not a mom." And I was like, "You're right. I'm not a mom." All right. And I felt very humbled because it was a great reminder for me that even though it was my birthday, it's very easy to be prideful and very happy that it was a day to celebrate me, that there were so many more people to celebrate that day. Our mothers, and my mom in particular, I took the whole day to celebrate her. Right? And so again, it was very humbling for me and a reminder to me to be humble. And in the same way, when you come and serve in the children's ministry, you will learn humility because these children will put you in your place. Right? Or we also have the opportunity to learn grace and mercy from them. That when these children, when you come and serve, these children, they will fight and they will bicker. And I feel like every week I have to pull two kids aside and be like, "Well, why did you hit him?" And they'll go, "I don't know." And then I'll tell them, "Well, you need to apologize, and that's not something you guys should do together, right?" And they'll go, "Okay, you're right." And they'll apologize and they'll forgive, and they'll then go out and play. And you'll just be like, "Well, they seem so fine now. Did I do anything? I must have, and it must have been an opportunity to give grace to them and to be merciful to them, not to do any more to them." And what we learn from this passage is something we learn because of them is, well, dependence. Right, that these kids are utterly dependent on the parents, and the same way we learn from them that we need to be dependent as well. Right? Now, if all we ever learned, though, was things because of them, then I would be hard-pressed to say that, well, they have something to give to us. And what I mean by that is that we can't just be learning because of them, as if just them doing stuff, we learn things on our own, but there are things that we can learn from them, that we can learn from the children. And one of those things is honesty. If you've ever spent time with a child, they'll tell you everything that they think. They hold back nothing. If they think you look funny, sound funny, smell funny, anything funny about you, they'll just say it to your face and just walk off and do whatever else they want. And now this sounds very scary and it sounds very, "Oh my goodness." But in reality, it's such a breath of fresh air. Because as we grow up, I mean, maybe it's the way we've been trained by society. Maybe it's just human nature. but we begin to want to put on a certain facade, that we want to appear a certain way, that we don't want people too close. We want just to look a certain way. But these children will tear that down. Right? That again, we will be humbled, but it's a breath of fresh air because they will tell you exactly how they feel. Right? That they'll be honest with you guys and share truth. And it's a great for me to learn from that because that's something I need to do with my friends, my family. Us as a congregation can learn from that, that we don't need to appear a certain way every Sunday, but that we can be honest in how we feel, or we can be honest in sharing our struggles. Another great thing that we learn about from the children is friendship. When you guys will get to, if you come and volunteer, you'll see that these children, they develop friendships very quickly with whoever and whatever. If they like you, they like you, right? And if you become a friend of these children, well, they'll give you their all. They'll come and they'll hug you, they'll greet you, they'll wave at you anytime you walk by, they'll smile, and they'll give you all of who they are. They hold nothing back in their affection. And unfortunately, for a lot of us, that's not how we view friendship. For a lot of us, we look at friendship as, well, if you do this for me, then I'll consider you my friend. Or I do this, then you do this. And it's almost like a trade-off. But for these children, when you're their friend, they just care and they care and they care for you. And they care and they care about their friends. And they genuinely love one another. And they'll genuinely love you guys when you come and serve in the children's ministry. And we have a lot to learn about friendship, where it's not about what we receive, but how much we give. And so there's a lot that we can learn from the children. And it is true that the children are the future of the church, that we are preparing them to be members, to be leaders, to be those who would be the church in the future. But we also must recognize that they are the church today as well, that they are a blessing from the Lord that we cannot and must not squander today. That there is so much for the children to give, and so much that we will be blessed by the children. And so in conclusion, even though today is a special day where we celebrate our children and our children's ministry, let today be a day where we can truly live out what it means to be a church. Let today be an opportunity for us to faithfully raise children together as a church, that we can care for one another, and especially care for those who almost feel as if they can't give anything back right now. That we have opportunity to really be, again, the church together here. Now, the building project is a great first step. That we have a new ministry center where we can safely teach our children and to really make use of a new facility. But we need to start building up our children together. We're not going to wait for the building project to happen and then build a program. We want to start doing that today. That we want our congregation here at MVCLA to buy in to our mission and vision. To realize not that am I going to serve in the children ministry or not, but that the children ministry is the church and that you are a part of it today. Whether you are volunteering and serving, or you're praying for us and encouraging us and investing in the teachers and the people here. That the goal isn't to just have a great program, but the goal is to have great relationships together. And so on this Children's Ministry Sunday, I thank you that, again, from the bottom of our hearts here at the Children's Ministry, to allow us to come and have this day with you guys. And as we see from God's Word, that we as a church really need to buy in together, that we need to really share God's Word with these children and to really bring our children to faith. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Father, that you would send your Son to die for us, to really adopt us as your children. And today is Children's Ministry Sunday, and we are so thankful for the role that you have given to us as the church to care for children. I thank you for the parents here in the congregation and their hard work of raising their children. And I thank you for the faithful teachers who serve week in and week out. And I also want to thank you for the future teachers and future volunteers who will be serving our children and helping to build up not just the future of our church, but our current church today. And I pray that we'll continue to depend on you and to trust in your grace and mercy. And that, Lord, we never will come to a point where we think that we don't need you or to be self-reliant, but instead, Lord, to truly be like a child in our faith, to really depend on you. And I also want to pray for the children that they would come to know you, to really be, to develop a relationship with you, that they are in need of you. So I thank you, and I pray in your son's precious name. Amen.